Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council's Planning Committee. My name is Tony Nixon, and I shall be chairing this meeting. Just a couple of points before we start. For everyone present, if you've got a mobile phone, can you please put it on silent? And can I ask members of the public to refrain from commenting from the public gallery? If there's any disruption to the meeting, you can be asked to leave. On my right, I have officers from the Planning Department. On my left, I have officers from the Law and Governance Department. Officers from the Planning Department will present each application separately as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 3 minutes. I'll indicate when you have 1 minute left to sum up. Ward members are entitled to speak for up to 5 minutes. An audio recording is being taken of this meeting, which shall be published on the Council's website. Members of the committee are reminded they do not enjoy any immunity as enjoyed by their colleagues in Parliament. Members may only deal with the planning application before them in accordance with National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan, together with any other relevant planning matters. We can now move on to the agenda. Item two, do we have apologies? Oh, I'm sorry, got it wrong already. Item one is minutes of the previous meeting, which was the 23rd of April 2025. Does anybody propose those correct record? Is that seconded?
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm sorry, no. Now, have we any apologies?
Councillor Phillips, Councillor McNaughton substituted by Councillor Reid, and Councillor Kenny substituted by Councillor Fordham.
Thank you. Declaration of members' interests or lobbying? None. Delegated applications. These will be circulated separately to members. Moving on to planning applications on page 3, 24/39864/PAR. I'll pass this over to John to present it.
Thank you, Chairman. This is an application for prior approval under Schedule 2, Part 3, Class Q of the Town and Country Planning General Permitted Development England Order 2015 as amended. I say that because it's not a planning application, and as such the matters that can be taken into account in considering whether or not to grant prior approval are more limited than there would be if this was a planning application. The application site is Barn at New Buildings Farm, Wollaston Lane, Church Eaton. You can see the location on the screen, and the red edge is the access road from the farm that goes up to Wollaston Lane. The application proposes the conversion of an L-shaped agricultural barn to one single residential unit with an associated single storey rear extension. The extension is proposed to the rear of the unit on an existing area of hard standing. The agricultural building currently has a gross external area of 127 square metres, and it is proposed to convert all of this floor space to residential, and the extension would add an additional 23 square metres, creating a unit of 150 square metres. Class Q development is a type of permitted development which allows for the conversion of agricultural buildings into dwellings without the need for full planning permission, but with a prior approval of the local planning authority. This enables landowners to create new homes by reusing existing buildings. And you'll see the report has been written in such a way as to assess the proposed development against the criteria set out within Class Q. And that goes from pages 6 to the top of page 14. The General Permitted Development Order provides that where the development proposed under Class Q A together with Class Q C, that's where there is a change of use and an extension, development is permitted subject to the condition that before beginning the development, the developer must apply to the local planning authority for a determination as to whether the prior approval is required, which is what this is, as to A, transport and highway impacts the development, B, noise impacts the development, C, contamination risks on the site, D, flooding risks on the site, E, whether the location or siting of the building makes it otherwise impractical or undesirable for the building to change from agricultural use to a residential use. F, the design or external appearance of the building, and G, the provision of adequate natural light in all habitable rooms. You'll see when you look through the report that each of these are considered in turn from paragraphs 4.34 up to 4.55. These are the only matters on which this application for a prior approval can be determined. And you'll see that the report concludes that the proposal complies with each of these considerations, and as such it's recommended that prior approval be granted, subject to the conditions listed in the report. Looking now at the images, so you've got the red edge around the barn and the access road up to Pulliston Lane. Just jumping ahead of me here. We've now got the aerial photograph, and then there are five images. The first two images are of the northeast corner, so the northern elevation of the L, the top part of the L, in other words, is the element that you can see here, with the door. There's a door up there, and then above that you've got the corrugated cladding. The second image shows that same northern elevation. It also shows the eastern elevation of the building. There are also three older photographs that we've added to show some context. This one is from the western side, looking through from the side of the L. Image four is taken from further back, so it shows the part that you saw first of all, which is the centre of the screen. The further back part of the L that you can see to the right of that, and the eastern side that you saw earlier. As I say, these are older photographs. The silo that you can see behind the building is no longer in place. And this shows better the eastern side of the building, and to the left of this image is the southern side of the building where the extension would be. We have two plans. If we start with plan two, because that shows what the building is at the moment, you'll see there the L shape that I referred to. And what is proposed, and that is the building that's proposed. So the extension is at the bottom of the L. As I say, Chairman, the application is recommended that prior approval be granted, subject to the conditions listed. Thank you.
Thank you, John. We have a speaker in support of this, Sharon Mason, if you'd like to take a seat. You have 3 minutes to speak. I'll indicate when you've got 1 minute left.
Okay. Thank you, and good evening, everybody. My name's Sharon Mason, and I am the applicant. What I'm going to read to you has been written by myself and the planning consultant that has been working with us. This prior notification application was submitted in October 2024 under Class Q of the General Committee Development Order.
As previously stated, Class Q conversions were introduced by the government to simplify residential conversions and streamline the planning process by allowing redundant agricultural buildings to be converted to residential. Councillor Rose called this application into committee following concerns made by neighbours to the site, the majority of which are not relevant to those appropriate to be considered by this application route and not material considerations. After seeing these concerns, I felt compelled to speak with Councillor Rose to address every objection. I would like to thank Councillor Rose for meeting with me to go through each concern, where I personally had the opportunity to explain our intentions and clarify some of the misconceptions of the neighbours regarding the development. I felt this was a very positive meeting and personally felt a great relief of being able to have an open conversation with our side of the application with Councillor Rose. Our family have lived on Wollaston Lane for over 20 years. We purchased New Buildings Farm in 2021 and found it to be in a disgusting condition. Over the last 3 years, we have removed more than 30 tonnes of worthless materials that was left piled around the farm. A large amount had been thrown into the lagoon. This has also been emptied and made safe. This has obviously greatly improved the entire site. We also have successfully renovated the original farmhouse for our youngest daughter, her husband and our grandson.
You have 1 minute left.
Our eldest daughter, her husband and our two granddaughters are also going to be living in another property on the lane. The proposed residential dwelling subject to this application will be occupied by my elderly parents. They are currently in unsuitable rented accommodation. The new dwelling would be perfect as it's single storey and easy to maintain, and obviously lovely for them to be so close to us and their great grandchildren. As you can see, family is incredibly important to us, and we are genuinely trying to look after our family by sensitively converting building, which is why we took the opportunity when it arose to purchase the farm in the first place. Several issues have been raised by interested parties, and we feel we have gone above and beyond what is necessary for a prior notification application to prove and justify that there will be no negative impacts resulting from this development. We have been asked to provide so much additional information.
Could you sum up now, please? Could you sum up now? Your 3 minutes are up.
Previous application. Sorry, I've lost my train. I'll stop there.
Okay, thank you. We do have the ward councillor. Would you like to speak?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Good evening, everyone.
You've got 5 minutes, so I'll indicate when you've got a minute left.
Perfect. Cheers. So I called in this application because of the concerns of nearby residents about the eventual use of it, the short-term issues that have been happening at the property already. When it comes to material concerns with the application, my main concerns are obviously highway issues that obviously the highways have already highlighted their concerns with the application in terms of access and safety for pedestrians, cyclists and other vehicles. And with the right of way that crosses along the access route as well, that's one of my top concerns as well. So I must admit I was rather confused by the fact that it's a Class Q and not an actual planning application, so it makes it a lot more difficult to actually put conditions in place. So obviously in the recommendations it says that the applicant is highly strongly recommended to implement these changes rather than actually being, you know, enforceable conditions. So I guess it kind of makes it very difficult when you can't actually strictly say that these conditions must be implemented, such as, you know, the lay-bys and the protection of the rights of way. So I'm a bit confused on that matter, I must be honest with it. And if there's any insight on what we could do to actually make sure that the highway recommendations are put in place and also that the public rights of way are protected, then that would be very beneficial. But that's mainly my concerns summed up, really. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone like to start off with the debate?
Do you want me to explain that bit?
Oh, sorry. Oh.
No, not.
What the?
Yeah, no, John's
John, do you want to explain about the public right of way?
It wasn't specifically the right of way,
but in terms
of what Councillor Rose has said. So you see in the recommendation that there is recommended 9 conditions, so those 9 conditions are enforceable. There are also a further 8 informatives, which is many more than you would normally get. And these are the ones that Councillor Rose is saying are worded along the lines of strongly encourage, etc. In essence, it does explain it in the report, but in essence, the conditions that Highways are suggesting, the legislation does not allow them to be put on as conditions on this type of application. So we're putting them forward as informatives, suggesting that they do that. We can't make them do that.
Okay. Thank you, John. Brian?
Yeah, just going back to that on the waste point. Going on page 14, 4.35, seems to contradict what the highways are recommending. It says the application site benefits from existing distinct access points off the public highways with clear and established visibility displays along Wollaston Road Lane. And yet the highways in their report were there saying refusal because of visibility displays. Perhaps John could clarify that point.
Could you, John?
Yeah. So, the visibility we're talking about is at the top of that red edge there, where Wollaston Lane, where the access track goes onto Wollaston Lane. You can see that on Google Street View, albeit it's quite an old view, and you can see at the point that's a typical access in a rural area. Wollaston Lane itself isn't a large road, but you can see the way that the and perhaps it shows you better on in page 26 of your agenda, because that plan's a little bit larger, but you can see where it meets the road. There's a curve in the road at that point in time.
So it looks as if it's got a good view.
There is visibility. Yes, there are hedges and things like that. But those are things that can be trimmed and you know, with normal maintenance, etc. It's not the scenario that you sometimes get with these applications where there is no existing access and the proposal involves.
Yeah, then they need visibility.
Yeah.
Well, also, seeing I've got the, on page 5, there was a planning application consented in January 24. I assume then that the 3 years expired and they didn't do anything then. On page 5, John, background 2.1 says planning permission for the building itself was granted.
I'm with you. 2.1, that 2013 application granted January 2014. That's for the agricultural building that's there now.
Not for the conversion.
If you look higher up on that page, 1.3, there is a reference to a 23 application, which is to extend New Buildings Farm itself. And as has been said, in the following paragraph, that and 2 other existing dwellings. So there are 3 dwellings that already use that access.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Okay.
Anyone else? Ian?
Thanks, Chair. I think the officer's report to me seems to very carefully review the criteria necessary for prior approval and takes them one by one and concludes that they're met, and I think I can understand that reasoning. So I assume we're saying that highways are not obliged to assess the application using the same criteria as we're using as an LPA, and that anyway our powers as an LPA are limited due to the fact of prior approval.
In effect, highways have responded to this as if it was a planning application.
Right. Yeah. And I think you said our powers are limited due to it being a prior approval.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Jill?
Yeah, I find it frustrating, yet again, that highways are recommending that the development should be refused in 4.28, but then in 4.32, they tell us that the visibility space can easily be improved without the need for any development that would require planning permission and assurances. It's just strange that they're contradicting themselves here. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chairman.
I was going to say, Mr. Chairman, that on the basis of this report, I move that we approve.
Yeah. I'll session that.
Can we have a vote on that, please?
I just want to check that there's no issue. Can we just check that no one has any issue in relation to what's being proposed?
No, no one got any problem with this proposal?
No.
No. No. Can we have a vote on it, then, please? Show of hands in favour. Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. Now we're moving on to item 6, planning appeal, which starts on page 27. Do we want to go through them individually or page by page?
27. It's fairly.
Would anyone like to bring any particular one up for discussion?
I think it's well documented, Mr. Chairman. I think we should take it as read.
Okay, thank you for that. Now, enforcement matters. Well, this concludes the public part of today's planning committee. We will now have to go into item 7 on the agenda. This relates to enforcement matters. The public have to be excluded for the remainder of this meeting because of likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraphs 1, 2 and 7, part 1, schedule 12A of the Local Government Act 1972 as amended. So we need to have a vote on this. We require the committee to take a vote so that this these enforcement matters can be discussed confidentially. Have a vote. All those in favour? No, that's unanimous.
Yeah.
That was. The report's confidential due to the inclusion of information relating to any individual, or which is likely to reveal the identity of an individual, or relating to any action taken or to be taken in connection with preventing, investigation, or prosecution of a crime.